You are listening to the Woman and the Word podcast. This is episode 3, the first in our Let's Talk series. As always, I hope that you enjoy and I pray that this talk blesses you. Speak soon. Hi everyone, my name is Bri Antonia and this is the Woman and the Word podcast. This is episode 3 and I am joined by my girl, Blondel Bema. Blondel, say hi.
Hi everyone, thank you for having me.
So today I wanted to sit down with Blondel because I felt like what I touched upon last week, which was the hallway, it's just such a huge topic. It's such a necessary topic. And I just didn't feel like it had to be limited to Christian responses for COVID-19. I felt like it was a strong enough message that is so necessary and applicable to every season of life. So I wanted us to delve into it today. But more specifically, I wanted us to see what the hallway looks like in real life. Like, I wanted to sit down and speak to you, Blondel, about your experience in the hallway, because you know it's cute to hear it in, you know, theory, and like we can understand the concept, but actually going through it is a whole different thing. Wanted to sit down and chat to you about it. Is that okay?
Of course, I'm ready to be a very open and honest book.
Okay, amazing. So for those of you who maybe didn't hear the last episode, the hallway is basically an analogy of a waiting period that you experience in your life. There's a popular saying that goes, until God opens the door, praise him in the hallway. And it basically speaks about your response and your attitude in a season of waiting before God gives you that breakthrough or that deliverance or whatever it is you're seeking. So when I did my sermon called The Hallway, I used examples like, until God gives you that job, praise him in your unemployment. Until God gives you that spouse, praise him in your singleness. Until God gives you the money that you're praying for, praise him with your pennies. That's basically the analogy broken down. So my first question to you, Blondel, is when was a time in your life that you felt you were in the hallway?
I would have to say I've definitely been in a number of hallways, but my most recent hallway that I was in was that I was just living a life that was not really centered in faith. I wasn't, you know, really living true to me being a Christian woman. And during this period, I was going through a really difficult time with work. You know, I had been told in the summer that I was to be made redundant, and that led to quite a few other issues with my ex-employer, you know, leading me to having legal issues, which was just something that I've never experienced before in my life. And, you know, going through all of these issues, I just was not using my faith or not tapping into my faith at all. And even though there are going to be hallways in our life, it doesn't mean that we need to be stood in that hallway and do nothing and, you know, build furniture within the hallway, furnish it in loads of different ways. That's not what the hallways are for. It's about whether you're going to actually stand there and just wallow, or if you're going to find your way out. And for me, last year, the end of last year, it was really a testing time for me to see whether I was really going to tap into my faith or allow myself to continue to lean on my own understanding.
That's so interesting, because with everything you said, it seems like you had many doors. You know, you maybe had the door of unemployment, but even a door in terms of your own faith and your own walk. So would you say that was the door you were waiting for God to open?
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes when we go through situations and we're looking for a way out, or we're looking for this big sign, you know, it generally is right there in front of us. And it's way more simple than we actually think. You know, when you just really bring yourself to God and just really humble yourself and you seek him properly, that door will be open for you. So whilst I was going through all those issues with the legal situation with my ex-employer, being unemployed, you know, going through my parents having to help me financially, you know, not having money, that was just such a crazy period. But in that, all it really needed was for me to turn to my faith and for, you know, things to become a little bit more simple in a way. I'm watering this down a lot, but you know, it was a Sunday. I was at church and I remember another sister, you know, just saying, she was also unemployed, and she was, you know, talking about being specific in the way that she was praying. And during this time, I was somewhat trying to find my way back into praying. You know how it is when things are not going your way anymore, all of a sudden it's, you want to start praying. So that's essentially what I, you know, ended up doing. And I remember hearing her and it sort of just clicked in my mind and I was like, hold on, she's talking about truly seeking God's face and being specific in the way she prays and just the way she reads her Bible, the way she's living her life, you know, changing things around. And I thought to myself, well, if that works for her, why would then it not work for me also?
Right.
And so I started doing the exact same thing. I became specific with God. I went to seek God's face humbly, you know, not a case of, yeah, God, I'm in trouble, so can you give your girl a hand? Like, can you let me know? Like, God's not a vending machine, you know, that's not how he works. So, I just really sort of humbled myself and really started to seek God in that way.
I feel like that's the goal, right? That's the way that we should act in the hallway. I love, in my sermon, even I included Psalm 119 verses 81 to 84, because let me just read a bit of it. Because even though David is complaining and wallowing in his sadness and stuff, his attitude is still very much, no, but I'm going to seek God. No, but God, I'm going to remember your standard and your regulations and your decrees, and I'm going to live by them. So it says, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? So he's literally like wallowing. He's upset. He's cussing. And at the same time, he's saying, I've put my hope in your word. I do not forget your decrees, which it sounds like that's exactly, well, that's the point you got to that Sunday when you heard what she said. But before you got to that place, I just want to speak about your initial response to the hallway, because I think a lot of people, it sounds cute, praise him in the hallway, you know, like just wait on him, but it's very difficult. So what was your first reaction to that? What were you doing before you kind of realized, now I need to fix up?
It's not easy, because I think naturally as humans we think we know it all. And when you're going through something, you don't really want to delve into the nitty-gritty with someone else. You don't really want to speak on it. You just want to try and tackle it on your own.
Yeah.
And I know for a long time when I was going through the situation, in my head I kept thinking, well, I'm going to be okay. I've got this experience. They can't do nothing to me. I'm going to move on. Everything's going to be all right. And it's like, why have you got this pompous attitude, hon? You're not working. You know, so it's, yeah, the attitude of me during that time was me just leaning on my own understanding. And it's not easy to admit that actually you need help.
Yeah.
And actually you need to be speaking to someone else, and actually you need to find your way back to the Father, because he doesn't, when he speaks, his words don't return void.
Right.
You know, and he's always said that, come to me, you know, bring your burdens to me. And here I was just lugging mine along, you know, allowing myself to suffer more. So no, it's not easy to, you know, to change your attitude, to change the way you're thinking, and to try and actually give yourself up to God. And that's definitely something that that I battled, you know, and almost feeling when, you know, when I got to the point in thinking, okay, no, I really do everything else is not working. I need to find God and I need to really speak to him. But because I had that level of embarrassment thinking, no, like, I haven't spoken to God in so long, or I haven't opened my Bible in so long. Like, how can I then go back to God and try and ask for help? But in that, he still wants to hear from me. So honestly, it was just really about humbling myself. It was, the whole thing was just so humbling.
Yeah. I feel like that is one of the fruits of being in the hallway. You just get settled. You get brought right back down to earth, and you're reminded of just how out of control you are. And I think that's the big, that was the biggest reason behind me recognizing this whole pandemic as a hallway. It was extremely humbling, realizing that we have absolutely no control right now of how fast the disease is developing, how fast it's spreading, like that we're so limited in terms of what we can do. And that is definitely a trait of being in the hallway. One thing I wanted to ask you, which is kind of linked to what we just said as well, how was your identity, how you viewed yourself, and also how you felt the world viewed you, how was that challenged in the hallway? Because we live in a society where, you know, the busier you are, the more productive, and like the more you've got it together and you're doing bits and you're whatever and whatever. And so we often don't even have it in us to wait. Like, what's waiting? We need to be on the go. We need to be on the next thing, go get to the next goal. And we value ourselves based on that. So as soon as we're now in a hallway and we have to be humbled and we have to wait, and sometimes waiting looks like standing still. I know for me, when I had to wait, I was like, who is this? Who is she? Like, I felt so insignificant. I felt lousy. I felt bummy, because I had measured myself in a system that says, oh, movement is progression. Even if I could have been going around in a circle, but I was like, hey, I'm moving. And so in my head, I'm progressing. And I feel like sometimes, and like what we're doing in this pandemic, we're just called to be still and to wait. And that's really difficult. And our identity and how we view ourselves and how we value ourselves is immediately knocked. Did you experience that as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I work in an industry that is super fast paced. Working in fashion, people literally don't sleep. You're constantly on the move and everyone's always trying to, you know, to outdo someone else or trying to show that they've, you know, accomplished X, Y, and Z. So for me, going from constantly working, barely even seeing my friends, honestly, always looking busy, to having to stand still, that was a shock to the system. And it's in that stillness where the most amazing things happen. And I had to learn that I just need to let things be. I just need to be still. If it means that in this moment I am doing nothing and just letting God do his thing, then fine, let me do that. But let me tell you, it took a while for me to get there. And the only way I even got there was honestly through starting to pray regularly, starting to read the words and really immersing myself into the words, because then everything in terms of how I saw myself, instead of being like, oh, I need to be this way, it's embarrassing that I'm not doing anything, you know, to I'm just gonna stand here and I'm okay with the silence, because actually the I'm sure the bigger plan is out there. Let me be, because this identity that I'm trying to have in front of everyone really means nothing to God.
Right.
Like, he doesn't care how many followers I've got or, you know, who's checking out. He's not worried about that. So I had to stand aside and just be still. And it was hard.
No, I can imagine. And I, like I said, I feel like that is a consequence of how society now operates. We look at busyness and we just imagine, we just assume it's productivity, and that's not always the case.
I literally fell off the face of the earth. As soon as, you know, all this drama was going on, please understand, I fell off the face of the earth. Like, I mean, I don't post often on social media anyway, but literally you would not have heard from me. You just wouldn't have heard from me, nothing at all. So it was, yeah, it that was a crazy time, you know, just because I wanted to sort of save face and not be seen as a failure, I just stopped speaking to people. I fell off.
Wow. And you know what? I feel like that is the enemy's, that's his first thing to go for. I feel like once he convicts you and makes you feel shameful about a situation, he will try and cut you off from people who can offer you support and pour back into you. He will try and isolate you so that he can continue to feed you lies. And that actually brings me back to my next question, because you mentioned that you started to pray more and read the word as like a way to kind of change your how you viewed yourself. Yeah. And I always talk about the word. I feel like the Bible is literally, you know, our purpose verse is, you know, the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It literally is that. And what I felt what really helped me when I was in my hallway is starting to claim the promises in the Bible. Like, I had to just man up and look myself in the mirror and be like, no, but you're more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. In Christ Jesus. No, but all things work out for the good. No, excuse me. I'm a tree planted by still water. Thank you. I had to just start running to the word. So what's some scripture that helped you through your time in the hallway?
My absolute favorite scripture, and for a long time, I feel like it will be, because it still is reigning true to me, how I am, is Romans 12:2. Like, I feel like everyone needs to read that one. Let me just get it up, because honestly, it just feeds so much to my soul, and it means so much to me. And I feel as though it was through reading this scripture that's how the change started to happen. So it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. I mean, come on. Like, how could I reach the levels of what God has planned for me if I don't renew my mind?
Right.
In this world that we live in, you know, we download so much to our subconscious, whether it's through social media, whether it's through something someone has said, whether it's through the magazines that we're looking at. There is so much that we download into our subconscious that finds its way to permeate through us. And, you know, leads us into how we act, how we do things, how we think things. And for me, especially, because I was leaning on myself and thinking, yeah, I've got experience, I've done this, I'm gonna be cool. I had to change my mind through that and be like, oh, actually, yes, I do have this, but it wasn't because of me that I've got it.
Right.
You know, I got it because I was blessed with it. I've been able to do X because I was blessed to do that. There's a reason why I did that, because he did that for me. You know, I had to change that and really change my attitude with the Bible. How do you start learning scriptures? From becoming immersed in the Bible. How do you start, you know, learning about the true secrets of what's in there? Through reading it. How do you unlock things? It is honestly through digesting the word of the Bible. And I really feel that scripture, Romans 12:2, is really so important for everyone.
It is. And I literally, in the last episode, I went mad when I clocked the second sentence, because no one talks about it. I was livid, because everyone stops at, oh, the renewing of your mind, and they just look off there. But the second sentence talks about, once you have renewed your mind, you will be able to identify, you will have the tools to be able to identify God's will. And the New Living Translation says God's will for you, for your life. Yeah. And I love that, because it reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3. And Ecclesiastes 3, for me, I had always heard it, but I didn't even know it was really in the Bible. I thought it was just one of them popular sayings that people fling around. But when I found it in the Bible and I read it in its entirety, I realized that God has a season for everything, right? So the fact that I'm here, if my God is this purposeful God that I serve, then the fact that I'm in this hallway, there has to be a reason behind it. He has not done this by accident. There is something that he wants to produce from this time. And I love the fact that Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to sow and a time to reap. There's a time to do X and a time to do Y. And once you know that that's the case, you are then able to, number one, identify, Okay, this is a time to do blah, blah, blah. And then number two, you can act accordingly. So like I said to you, once I recognized when I came back from California and I was just low and depressed and sad. And like, I went from beaches to the Broadway on Fort Newport of High Street. I was, you know, so sad, and I was looking for work, and then I didn't get the internship that I wanted, and I had to go back to uni, all these horrible things. Once I recognized that, you know what, maybe this isn't a time for me to like run ahead. God clearly wants me to do something right here. So I put my head down and I was like, okay, I need to knock out of the park then. And literally the following year, after everything was done, it was just a year of harvest. Everything happened. I got the job at Sony. I won the award for the EP. I graduated with a foot. Like, everything happened that year. And I believe it's because before that, I identified that, no, this is the time to sow, and I'll reap when it's time to do that, you know? So I definitely feel like hallways are part of the story.
100%. It just hearing you say that, you know, there really is a time for everything. And you know, it wasn't until earlier this year when I sort of looked back on the last few months, you know, the ending of 2019 was tough, really, really tough, but the ending, oh my God, that almost broke me. So by the time we reached about Feb, and by this point I was still beginning of Feb, I was still unemployed, but I was happy. I was happy and I felt free. And for me, the place that I was in was like, Lord, I'm letting you lead me, whatever, you know, the next position's going to be, whatever route you want me to take, I'm going to take it. And it was within that place of feeling at peace that I then realized that, actually, hold on a second, I went through all of these things similar to the people of Israel that were brought out of bondage, that, you know, were walking around in the desert for 40 years. I went through all these different hoops, all these different situations to reach this point here. Because in the midst of me feeling lost, not really knowing what to do, that's where I found God. And that's where my relationship with him really grew. So that was my time of breakdown, my time of being humbled, because... Listen, I was humbled, really, really humbled in that situation. So that was my time for that. And I'm now in a time of reaping from my blessings.
What you just said reminded me of a section in the sermon when I spoke about pruning. And it's exactly what you just said about God stripping things away from you. And what I love about the concept of pruning is that I believe, it's been so long since the sermon, but I believe pruning is like you do it to a tree. So you will snip away the like dead branches, but the end goal is that the tree will grow bigger and better, right? So it's literally like trimming your hair. You get rid of the dead ends. It might be shorter, but you're going to be growing healthy hair as a result of that. So I truly second what you said about God just removing those things, especially the things that you have placed more hope in them than him, the things that you have put up as your idol and your God. God will just quickly remove those and strip it all back until it's just you and him. And then you literally are, you're just naked, you're exposed, and you have to deal with the truth.
That's literally where I was, you know, during the first couple months that I was going through the situation with the legal stuff and unemployment. Did I ever stand up in church and tell anyone? Like, apart from my close friends, did anyone else know that I was unemployed? These times I was still walking around as if I was making money, but I was broke-eth, okay? I was not making a dime, nothing, not a pence, nothing. And I remember reading a scripture or just even listening to a sermon and just being like, oh, okay, so I actually need to like speak about this openly. Because if the testimony that I had heard blessed me in a way for me to now be on this journey, then from me speaking, surely it would bless someone else in a way. And that was another point of humility for me. There I was. I remember that Sunday so vividly. It was just before Christmas. I stood up and I was like, hey, everyone, this is the situation. I've been unemployed for this long. And you're just staring at everyone's faces. Everyone's looking at you like, wait, what? I had to strip myself bare. I was naked. Like, yes, I'm not really working right now. This is the situation. And there was nothing to be embarrassed about because my church family embraced me. They prayed with me.
I love that. For me, I feel like that is back to what I was saying earlier about the enemy's, you know, one of his primary tactics is to isolate us. That is where strength comes from, you know, running to whoever your source is, right? So, you know, some people might not have a church family yet. Whoever pours into you, whoever is your support system, run to them. God has placed those people in your life for a reason. And I truly believe that there is strength when we open our mouth and speak our truth, because the enemy, he can no longer lie to us at that point. We've outed ourselves. So what can he come and do? How can he accuse us when we've now spoken it for ourselves? Do you know what I mean? So I love that. And just as we wrap up, I want to ask, you know, now you've been through the hallway, you're on the other side, we thank God. What do you think is the biggest thing that God revealed to you about yourself in that time?
That I was definitely relying on myself too much. And that my understanding of what faith is was completely warped. Wow. In the sense that I would say, God is faithful and I have so much faith in God that he's going to bring me through this, when actually I was living in doubt. So I wasn't trusting him wholeheartedly. But in the transformation that I've been going through the past few months and just reading more and trying to understand more, I'd say God has definitely started to reveal himself more to me. And just, I think people sometimes think that you need to see some huge sign or God needs to come visit you at night and for you to understand what faith is. But no, not necessarily. It could literally be just through the scriptures that you're reading or through the preaching that you're hearing that day. And for me, it was definitely through a combination of these things where, you know, God was speaking to me and saying, hey, you say you have faith, but you have seeds of doubt also. Let me help you, let me work with you so you can fully understand who I am. And yeah, that was definitely something that was revealed to me. And I would say right now I'm in a whole different place in terms of that. When I say God is faithful, when I say, you know, I believe in what God is doing for me, I truly, truly believe it because I can see how far I've come.
Oh, that's amazing. We love to hear it. Oh, thank you so much for your time, B. I honestly could talk to you. I could talk to anyone about the hallway, number one, but I could talk to you about the hallway and just how much God has shifted you, your life, just everything. Like, there's been such an amazing change that I've witnessed in less than a year. It was literally
end of last year. Yeah. It's been crazy. And I feel like also being that I'm a PK. Being that I'm a PK, also, I feel like people assume that I'm, you know, meant to be on this whole different level of faith, and you know, I've got God on speed dial, you know, and all of this. But I go through these issues just as much as everyone else. But I feel also just being a PK, you know, sort of. That was another thing that sort of stopped me from being able to be open about it. But God's doing wonders, and I definitely speak out more and allow myself to be vulnerable more. So honestly, God has done so much, and it would be so wrong of me to keep quiet about it.
No, well, thank you for sharing it on this podcast. You know that you are always welcome here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So before we say goodbye, this episode, Blundell, you have been our woman. So what is the word that you want to give to the listeners?
Transform your mind. Romans 12:2. That is for you.
Ooh, all right. Short and sweet.
the verse speaks for itself. Honestly, the verse speaks for itself. And I feel everyone can have different interpretations of it for their own lives.
No, that's beautiful. We love it. Romans 12:2, transform your mind. That's amazing. Blundell, thank you for your time. Thank you for speaking and being with us. Everyone, thank you for listening. This has been episode 3 of the podcast, and we have been speaking to Blundell Bamer. See you next time, guys. Bye.